Jews are good at a lot of things. We really are. We have a lot of strengths. Not a week goes by that somebody doesn't send me the equivalent of the list of Jewish Nobel Prize winners, right? Which makes its way around and around and around the net. And every day, of course, we discover that someone else who we thought wasn't Jewish was in fact Jewish, or had a Jewish relative, or once knew a Jew, so they get added to the list. And I remember even growing up, if there was a Jew who was involved in sports or in politics or in any other field of endeavor and they succeeded, we took this tremendous pride and we added it to the Our Team column. But one of the strengths of a self-confident people is admitting what we are not good at. And we're not good at everything. There are some things, actually, that we are not so good at. And sometimes they're important. Moses leaving Egypt has to be told by his father-in-law Yitro to take on a bunch of judges to help him because the task is too great. Which tells you that Moses may have been a great prophet, a remarkable man, but as an administrator, he needed help. And Yitro, who was wiser in the ways of government, helped Moshe, and that is help, quite frankly, the Jews have needed ever since. One thing that we have not distinguished ourselves in throughout history is self-government. Do you know how long the kingdom of Israel and Judah were united? They were united basically through the kingdom of David and Solomon, and then they split the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And if you ask what split them, what terrible external enemy came in and made it impossible for the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom to live together, the answer is nobody invaded. Jews couldn't get along. Their government didn't work. It didn't mesh. In other words, they failed at self-government. And one of the things that strikes me as astonishing is if you look at the campaigns of any of the current candidates, all of them have electoral advisors who are Jewish. We're very good at telling other people how to run their business. This is a skill at which we excel. If you want to know what you should do, I'll tell you. But the idea that I can therefore run my own business is actually not, even though it may seem logical, is not in fact the case. And this brings us to our beloved land of Israel. Now, the first thing to be said about government in Israel is that on the most fundamental level, it's an astonishing success. The fact that Israel has existed for 60 years as a democracy is in and of itself a remarkable achievement of which we are and should be justifiably proud. I mean, after all, you know, the writer Arthur Schnitzler, the Austro-Hungarian writer, once talked about the situation of the Jews in the world as follows. He said, a man came to his doctor and he said, "Doctor, my problem is I can't sleep." And the doctor said, "Ah, you're an insomniac." He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, describe the typical night." He said, "So the typical night is I put my head on the pillow and then I hear the college students upstairs blaring their music. So I go upstairs and I tell them, please turn down your music so I can sleep. I go back down, they turn it back up. I go back up, I say, turn it down, please, so I can sleep. They turn it down, and then the people next door start fighting. And the husband and the wife yell through most of the night. By the time they quiet down, the guy downstairs, who is a letter carrier, gets up and makes noise making breakfast, and then all of a sudden it's time to go to work. The doctor says to him, it's not that you're an insomniac, it's just that you live in a bad neighborhood. And Schnitzler said, that's the problem with the Jews. The Jews live in a bad neighborhood. And we have a democracy in a very bad neighborhood. And we should appreciate the fact that we have succeeded in creating a democracy. But government in Israel is, as my grandmother of blessed memory would say, aftsuris. It's in trouble. And it's in trouble in part because Israel's government, like Israel's system of laws, is cobbled together from Jewish law, English law, Turkish law. Every invader that ever passed through the land left a residue of law and government behind them, and we inherited them all. And then in a very short time, under the stress of war, Israel had to cobble together a government and a system of laws. And this is what happens with laws. Laws, like religions, like people, are inherently conservative. They don't like to change. Try to get a new amendment to the Constitution. Very hard to do. Because when people grow up with a certain system, and they know a certain system, even if it doesn't work, it's their system. How many families are that way? You say, but it's not working this way. And people go, you're right, we have to change. We'll talk about it. And nothing changes. So Israel has a largely, I won't say unworkable, but problematic system. And by the way, you need not take my word for it. There have been 31 governments in Israel in 58 years. We're trying to beat the Italian record. We're working at it, right? Do you know how many prime ministers in Israel and all of their prime ministers have served their full terms? Two. Only two. Everyone else gets voted out sooner or later. Because remember, Israel has a parliamentary system based to some extent on the British system. And there you can have votes of no confidence. And you have to put together a coalition, which means that, unlike if I'm president now, and all of you don't like me, you have to wait till my term is over. But if I'm prime minister and you don't like me, then I have to go find other people out there who do like me, who can vote for me to keep me in office, and if they don't, I'm out. Which means that if you have little groups, one vote, two votes, three votes, and I have to put together a coalition, I will make concessions sometimes to very small groups because I need them decisively to put me over the edge so I can stay in office. It's a system of government that makes you very sensitive to the needs of very small groups, but also can make you very, very sensitive, sometimes oversensitive, to the demands of splinter and fraction and very marginal parties. I'm not going to tell you how to fix the government of Israel. First of all, because I don't know. And second, because there are much wiser political heads than mine in this congregation and in this community. But this is what I will tell you. To have a successful country requires not only addressing threats outside, but problems inside. And the Jewish community in the diaspora has to not only help our brothers and sisters defend their land, but also shore up the democratic elements, the reasonable centrist elements in terms of creating coalitions and parties, and try to help Israel come to its own resolution about how to deal with its governmental problems. In other words, we have to inform ourselves about what goes on inside Israel as we inform ourselves about what goes on between Israel and its Arab neighbors. That's part of our responsibility as people who care about the nation. Because just as right now we are involved in an election campaign and we realize how important the system is in America, so too in Israel. What happens there is not only a function of what forces outside of Israel do, but also a function of the relationship between forces in Israel. In 2002, one of our members, Parviz Nazarian, looking at what was going on in Israel, thought not that he could create a system for Israel, but that he could help people in Israel empower themselves to look at the system. He created an organization, CECI, there are brochures outside for those of you who are interested, which brought together a sort of large think tank of professors and government people, presidents of Israel, some prime ministers, to look at the system in Israel and try to figure out ways in which it could be adjusted or changed to make the government more responsive to a greater number of the people. I have before me all the various changes that were proposed. I'm not going to recount to you the different kinds of proportional representation and districts and so on again, because there are different ideas, and this, after all, is not a political seminar. But I will suggest to you that you take the brochures, that you look and that you get involved, and that we understand that if Israel really is our country, that it's not only our country when they're in war, but it's our country when they vote, when they decide on laws, when they propose legislation, and that it is our task not to tell Israel how to do it, but to be informed, understanding, and supportive of those elements in Israel that we believe work in the best interests of the country, just as we do when Israel is in trouble. I bring this up now because, strangely enough, this is the theme of Pesach. You would think that the theme of Pesach is all about leaving Egypt. But in fact, leaving Egypt is a prelude to the story of the Jewish people. It's not the culmination. Our greatest moment was not walking across the sea. Our greatest moment was standing at Sinai. It wasn't about now you're free, it was about now you have a means to govern yourselves, elevate yourselves, train your souls, be a people. That's what it is to be a Jew. It's not to leave Egypt with nothing, it's to stand at Sinai and get something. And the same thing is true for Israel. The establishment of the state is actually not the greatest moment in the history of Israel. The greatest moment in the history of Israel is not to establish a state, but to perpetuate a state, to have a state that works, that enables the Jewish people to govern themselves in harmony and in peace, not without arguments, God forbid. We are the Jewish people, but in a way that Israel feels that they have a sound, strong, and continuous tradition of self-government that is uniquely their own. This past week, speaking at a Brit Milah, I talked about a very curious verse in the Torah, which is interpreted in two directly opposing ways. And we read it this morning. It's when the Israelites reach the sea. And you know, when they reach the sea doesn't split. And Moses looks up at God, and he starts to say, you know, what am I supposed to do? And God says, Ma titzak alai, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. Why are you screaming to me? Go. Speak to the children of Israel and go forward. Now, anybody who reads that verse coming to the Torah for the first time would assume that what God is saying is, stop yelling at me, do what you're supposed to do, and you'll be fine. In other words, it's your responsibility. Rashi, the great medieval commentator, interpreted it in exactly the opposite way. He said, what you have to do is place a comma after titzak and say, Ma titzak, why are you yelling out? Alai. It's on me. So don't worry, Moses, I'll take care of it. Now, why did Rashi interpret it that way? Because Rashi lived in the 11th century in France. Jews had no options. They had no political power. The sum of their ability to change the world was to pray. And therefore, Rashi could not believe that the verse was saying, don't cry out to me, go forward, because he lived in a world in which going forward was not a possibility. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world in which the greatest religious attribute of the Jewish people is that we combine prayer with action. That we don't throw up our hands and say, God will take care of this. That's precisely why what I said at the beginning is true. Why do you get Nobel Prize winners in medicine, in literature, in physics, in economics, in all the fields of human endeavor that can make life better? Because the Jewish people really does believe Matzitzak alai. Why should you only cry out to God? Yisa'u, go forward. That's true not only in our lives, but in the lives of our sisters and brothers in the state of Israel. Part of our task, the foremost task that we have, is to ensure that Israel is safe from external enemies. That is a formidable task, and in some ways gets more complicated every day. But it is also part of our task to share what support and wisdom we have to ensure that Israel can be a smoothly functioning democracy in a part of the world that doesn't know from functioning democracies. So that when the Israelis look up at the heavens and say, why is this state so broken that its government turns over again and again, we can help with the answer that God gave Moses, Matitzak alai, don't cry out to God, Yisa'u, go forward. We are hand in hand with you. We want to support you. We who are lucky enough to live in a democracy that has been functioning for centuries, that through all the shocks and difficulties of its time has managed to stay stable, we want to help you create the same thing, so that in that bad neighborhood in which you live, the Jewish people can create what the prophets dreamed, an island of peace, a place of goodness, where, as Isaiah says, the knowledge of God will cover the land as the waters cover the sea. Shabbat Shalom.